Good evening. I'm Michael Carey. Welcome to the program. Tonight, we will be talking with candidates running for the Anchorage School Board. Joining me is KSK reporter Daisha Eaton. During this segment, we will meet the candidates for Seat B. They are Eric Croft, Stephanie Cornwell George, and David Neese. Each candidate will have a minute for an opening statement. We'll go first to Mr. Croft.
Thank you, Michael, Daisha, and thanks to KAKM for putting this on. This morning, as we do every school morning, my daughter, Shannon, and I walk with her dog to the school that I went to, the school she's going now. And we talk about the days, her day, if she's willing to, or my day, if she doesn't want to talk about it. And when we get close, she didn't let me get right into the school, but get close, I kiss her goodbye, tell her to have a great day, and watch her walk towards school. And then the dog and I go back and I go to work. I don't know what the dog does. I'm running for the school board because every day the most important people in my life walk through those Anchorage school doors. I want to make sure we have high standards and the will to achieve them, that we have continued budget discipline that focuses our resources on the classroom, and that we remember every day that it's about those children walking through those school doors. I'm Eric Croft, and I'd appreciate your vote on April 2nd.
Ms. Cornwell George.
Thank you for having me. I'm ultimately, you know, a mother here in Anchorage. I have two children in the schools in Eagle River. And prior to taking my job at the Special Education Service Agency, I was a teacher in the classroom in Anchorage up until last year. And my focus and primary passion is special education. I think that's a voice that we've had missing from the school board for a while. I think we need to have that perspective. But ultimately, my goal is to make sure that we have well-rounded perspectives on the board to represent all of Anchorage, to represent parents, teachers, students, and to work towards more collaboration with excellent agencies and other people out there working for kids and families across the municipality.
And finally, Mr. Neese.
Thank you for having us here. For 28 years, I got up in the morning and took my kids to school for 18, but for 28 years, I went to school and taught other people's children. I started my day at 7, and I'd usually end at about 5, because after teaching all day, I coached. So I think that when you have that perspective and you're teaching all of the children in the Anchorage School District and all the people whose children are so important to them, it's important to have that perspective going in. I've watched programs come and go in the Anchorage School District. I know that we're looking at tight monetary times. I think I know where the cuts need to be made, that it won't affect that teacher-student time coming into the classroom. So I'm the teacher.
Thank you. Daisha will ask the first question.
The first question will be for Mr. Croft. The school district leadership, as you may know, is going through some major changes. We have a brand new superintendent, and there will be several new school board members. What leadership will you bring to the school board during this time of change?
It's an excellent question. I think we've got to do two things simultaneously. The first, because the school district doesn't have any taxing authority of its own, where our budget numbers are dictated to us. We've got to continue the budget discipline and focusing those resources on the classroom. And I spent 10 years in the legislature, 7 of them on the House Finance Committee, and have a lot of experience about how you comb through that budget. But the second and most important thing is, after 3 years of flat funding from the legislature, we have to start a conversation about how we increase that funding. And so my experience there, as well as in Anchorage and statewide, helping that. So we've got a double mission, and I think I can bring skills to bear on both those tasks.
And Ms. Cornwell George, how about you? What leadership would you bring to the school board at this time of change?
I think with a lot of the change going on, there's a lot of uncertainty with staff, with parents, and a number of groups that need to have their voice heard, that need to have representation. And so I think understanding that perspective and bringing that, you know, awareness of what goes on in the classroom and what they need and how those things affect students is very important. I also bring, you know, working at the statewide level in special education, knowledge of the special education law, and my parent perspective is also one that is very valuable.
And Mr. Neese, how about you? What leadership would you bring at this time?
Well, I taught for 28 years and I was a coach for 75 seasons. I think I have quite a bit of leadership skills. The thing to think about at the school board is they have to coach the superintendent in the direction that you want the board to. They set the guidelines. So when they told the board this year that they didn't want to touch teaching jobs, he could touch anything else in the budget but not the teaching jobs, that's the kind of guidance you give. So we're going to be looking at tough times. I think that you have to be the person that says, here's the line you cross, here's where I don't want you to go, this is untouchable. And that's what the board does. I'm fairly strong in my opinions and I tend to make them known.
Okay. Now I'll ask my question, starting with Ms. Cornwell George. The Common Core national standards that establish what a student should know by a certain point in his or her education must be aligned with the curriculum. What needs to be done to make sure teachers' lessons plans are aligned with the standards?
You know, we've hired some excellent teachers to teach our kids. And right now, we have the Common Core. You know, teachers know what needs to be taught. They need to be equipped with the tools to choose from. Not all curriculum materials and programs fit every child. They need to be able to meet the needs. You know, we can't expect a kid to fit a mold. Teachers need to have options to choose from, and they need to be able to utilize those tools. Because if you give a teacher, a crayon, they can likely come up with a great lesson with that. They need to have things to pull from in their toolbox, and I think that's what we need to focus on.
Mr. Neese.
Okay, so the question was, again, that
Common Core.
Okay. They just did that recently with the math textbook. They went through, they picked a committee, they did all of the work. What they didn't do very well was, input from the teachers. Teachers know what you have to do to get it done. You just tell them what the goal is, they'll usually get you there. Turning the teacher loose to do his job is the single most thing you can do. So if you give them, say, here's Common Core standards, here's the scope and sequence when I started, so this is where you need to be by the end of the year, they're there. But you have to have some accountability built in for the parents and the child. We always hold the teacher accountable, but we need to hold the child accountable. They need to be able to read at third grade. They need to be able to do basic arithmetic. And we haven't had that conversation in the city. And that's one of the things that needs to open up.
Mr. Croft.
And we're doing that process now. Adopting the Common Core is an important step that the Anchorage School District took. It raised standards, so we now have higher standards than generally in the state of Alaska. And aligning the Common Core, aligning the curriculum to the Common Core is going to take input from the entire community, from students, parents, and teachers. I think it was an important step. And how we balance and the need for that alignment so that a student can move from class to class, school to school, and still be in roughly the same place on the curriculum, that movement doesn't set them back, with individual teacher initiative to decide how that material is presented is a challenge. In other words, how do you marry the diversity you need to set teachers free with enough alignment and meeting the standards so that we can both have transportation within the district, movement within the district that's going to happen whether we like it or not, and meet those high standards.
Back to Daisha Eaton.
And this question will be for Mr. Neese first. The state of South Dakota just passed a bill that allows schools to have an armed sentinel, a teacher, administrator, crossing guard, somebody else permitted to carry a firearm in the school. After receiving proper law enforcement training. Would you favor similar legislation for Alaska? Why or why not?
Boy, that's a good question. We already have police in the high school, and they're armed. And they are quick responders or first responders to the elementary and junior highs around them, so I don't see the need. Of course, I don't see the need of them sitting in the school either, but I don't think you have to legislate that. The thing that you have is it was a random act. It was a senseless act. It was a crazy act. I think that you have to realize that you can't legislate everything out there. So, you know, just making sure that we have a good security protocol, access to the building, you know, making sure that it's limited to get in, I think it does it better than passing legislation arming people.
And Mr. Croft.
I'd go very slowly in this area, and so I wouldn't jump to adopt the South Dakota, the law that you mentioned. I would like to learn more about it, but we did, I think, the appropriate thing at the district level to the tragedies, the appropriate response, which was to have a very quick but thorough facilities review. So we want to make sure that our facilities are secure. When I go visit my son, it's not a at his school. You pass by the principal office, the administrative office, and Sandy Hook had pretty in-depth security measures, so they were just blown past. I think every school has to have a place where you direct traffic into it through past the administration, but I'd go cautiously on arming elementary school teachers.
And Ms. Cornwell-George, how about you?
I agree. I think that we have to move very slowly into this. If we reacted to every incident of tragedy or crisis, we would find ourselves making a lot of very quick decisions that might not be for the best. We have protocols and we reviewed them as a district, and I think that we do need to look at some of the logistics and building improvements that are needed to make sure that our schools are safe. But if you look at statistics, there's a whole lot of accidents that happen, even with well-intentioned and well-trained people. So I think that we need to move slowly and make sure it's best for what's best for our schools and neighborhoods.
Okay, now we'll go back to Mr. Croft. The Alaska Legislature is debating a proposed constitutional amendment that would repeal the ban on using public money for private education. Do you favor an amendment to the Constitution that would allow public parochial schools to become the beneficiary of state money, perhaps through vouchers?
No, I oppose the voucher amendment. In the legislature, I was a big proponent of, and will be on the school, a proponent of real school choice. That is within our charter school system. So a student can decide whether they want a German immersion or an optional program or any of the other options we have and the other options that'll get support and that we'll think of. But the voucher bill, giving a set amount of money, I think is a really poor idea, both for what it does to our school district and school system, and more importantly, what it does to our society. I think you very quickly get a stratified society with those that can afford a quality education and those that cannot. And so I don't like what it does to our schools, but I don't like what it does to our democracy.
Ms. Cornwell-George.
I oppose the movement. I think that our district in particular has excellent choices and charter schools available. And if you look at them, they're actually all fairly successful, really successful in some cases. And I think when people ask for vouchers for school choice, they're really wanting a say into their child's education. They want to make sure it's a fit for their students' needs. And I think if we took a look at some of these models and these choices and options, we could look at what the core of them is. They bring together administration, teachers, parents, and community members to decide what's best for our school community, and they're empowered to choose how their funding is going to be used to meet those needs. And I think that's the model we need to look at, giving more of those choices within our school district.
Mr. Neese.
Okay, I'm the odd one out on this one. I have testified both on HJR1 and SJR9. And if you look back to day 48 in the Constitution, this was a big debate 56 years ago. In fact, Vic Fisher, who's one of the three remaining constitutional attendees, back then was saying, we need to strike that last sentence. It's covered under the finance clause. You cannot transfer the money over to a religious organization. And you have to remember, back then, Alaska was very poor. We had four concurrent parallel school systems running on. You had a private, you had a Department of Defense, and you had BIA. So they couldn't let that money bleed off into the other places. This is not 1956 Alaska. It's time to have this discussion. And if you want to put parochial schools or banned in there, put parochial schools or banned in there.
Okay, let's go back to Desh Eaton.
And this first question will be for Ms. Cornwell-George. What are the school board and the superintendent going to do to ensure that there's adequate long-term funding from the legislature so that the Anchorage School District doesn't get left behind?
Well, I think they need to, first of all, continue to advocate. We always have to do that. There's a cap on the amount the municipality can give, and I think we need to look at removing that or changing that. We need to, not just look at partisan politics, but look at what's best for kids and make sure that we bring people together to advocate for what kids need and not let that become a political battle, and make sure that they are all working together.
All right, and Mr. Neese.
Okay, the problem is the formula funding that we have down in the legislature. We've actually increased funding for schools 32% higher than the cost of inflation in the last 10 years. So saying you're going to inflation proof it, we beat that by 30%. So it's not a problem of the money, it's a problem of allocation of the funds. Do you want to have it going? We've spent a lot on buildings. I think you should be spending on children and the education. So focusing it on the classroom, getting as much money as possible in the classroom is the important part. You're going to be running up against a legislature that is a little fiscally conservative. They don't want to give money without results. You have to come up with your results. You have to make sure that money that you get works. It's public funds. It's got to be spent on education.
And Mr. Croft.
You know, I listened to the public testimony on this round of budget cuts set there for the vast majority of it. And I've seen a lot of public testimony. It was extremely well reasoned, emotional still, looking at the cuts that we had to make in nurses' aides and social workers, in some in special education. And they hurt this time. But I'm very worried about the cuts that we're going to have to make the next round, another $25 million of cuts. And you saw, I think, a community starting to come together, realizing the impact of now 3 years of flat funding from the legislature and what that does to our schools and our children. And so it's building that community pushback against the legislature. In my experience, the legislature does what you force them to. And so I want to be part of, will be part of, forcing the legislature to recognize that everything costs more each year and that they can't continue to flat fund arguably the most important thing that government does.
Okay, we'll start with Mr. Neese this time. Do you anticipate a Muni-style run-in between the district and teachers over salaries, benefits, terms of employment, or is there an alternative if we begin an era of austerity, a relative austerity? Okay.
As a teacher, my pay was frozen 9 times out of the 28 years I taught. So I've been on that era of austerity. Most of the cuts in the Anchorage School District have been on the teachers' backs in the last 28 years. It's time for somebody else to take the hit in the budget cuts. We have plenty of staff that's not teachers. Only 2,400 people of the 6,000 employees in the Anchorage School District are teachers. So if we're going to make cuts, I want to make them outside of the classroom and away from the licensed teachers.
Okay, Mr. Croft.
I think the real rub in this negotiation, and short answer that the Muni-style discussion hasn't, and the divisiveness of that hasn't spread, thank goodness, to the school board. It doesn't, the 37, the ordinance that's being proposed, does not cover the school district. So we will be in a negotiation mode with our employees, and we'll do that in good faith. I think the nut that has to be cracked is not so much salaries, which have been relatively contained in their increases, but what we do about health benefits. And that, I think, is going to be the difficult part of that discussion, how we contain health care costs that are projected to just go through the roof. And it's not a problem unique to the school district. Most small businesses, large businesses, and government agencies are facing how you get a handle on health care costs. But I think that's where the really tough negotiating is going to come.
Ms. Cornwell George.
The negotiations are already happening, and I think for the most part you've seen a fairly amicable relationship between the union and the board. And it's the discussion's not been primarily on salary. There's a lot of things like time for testing, you know, new accountability measures, new testing for response and intervention that just hasn't been allowed for in a teacher's day, those kind of things. When we look at healthcare, the teachers are part of the NEA Health Trust, which is a nonprofit, which is actually doing quite well and has been quite beneficial. I think they actually paid more money back to the people last year. So I think that it needs to continue to be a good open relationship like that.
Back to day sheet.
And the first question will be for Mr. Croft. Are we putting enough money into VOTEC? That's been increased recently. So VOTEC science and technology programs.
We're starting to, but it's an appropriate that we spend more time and more resources, more focus on it. Not everyone is going to go to college. Not everyone should be expected to or made to feel bad if they didn't. And so understanding earlier the career path that child would like, And putting the resources, time, attention, and training into that, I think is very important. We weren't doing as well as we should have and still can do better, but we're starting to give it the emphasis it's due.
And Ms. Cornell George.
It's been a statewide push to increase in that area, and I think it's very important that we continue to do so. I think we need to destigmatize the college track, non-college track. I think the methodology used in VOTEC is hands-on. It gets kids involved and immersed, and it's really important no matter what avenue and path you're going to follow to get involved in things like that. It could open up new things for people or kind of show them, hey, maybe that's not what I want, but I think it's the right way to go.
And Mr. Neese?
Well, I was there when they took shop out in the 80s. We adamantly told the school board that this is a bad idea. You have 11 intelligences and school only teaches to about three of them. And when you have shop classes and you have kids with hands on, they're doing wood and metal, and that's a good thing. What they brought back is not that old shop class model. They brought back a career and technical education, which means that you're going to have nursing models and stuff. I still go to a mechanic, I still go to my plumber, I still go to my carpenter. Those skills are still being lost. And when the unions tried to come in and invited and said they would build a school in Anchorage, the board and the superintendent turned them down. That education is now occurring out in the valley, and I thought that was a mistake. Pulling the shop classes out, mistake, turning down is a mistake.
Okay, this question is for Ms. Cornwell George. Ms. Cornwell George, do we have enough teacher aides in our classrooms or with individual students who need aides, especially English language learners and special ed students?
That's decided at an individual level when you look at special education, and you can't decide that unless you look at hours that students have. But when we look at other programs, we don't have enough services in some of the bilingual programs, the native education programs. My son has not yet had access to those in any of the schools that he's been in, and he is Alaska Native, and that's three schools. So I know there's a need. In some of them, we might be overstaffed. So I think we really need to take a look at where those resources are allocated and make sure that it's balanced.
Mr. Neese.
Well, this is where the neighborhood school model sort of falls apart, because when you have that, then you have to have somebody that serves all of these populations in each school. When Dr. Browder looked at the budget, he found out that according to national standards, we're way overstaffed in our teacher aides. I think the parents would probably disagree, but if you do not have the free movement between pockets where you can get the services, then that's really difficult. So a good example is the Alaska State School for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. It's around the district that has one location. The specialists go there. The kids know they go there. That's a good delivery model. That's more bang for the buck. You've got it isolated, and it's working for those populations.
And Mr. Croft.
We're in somewhat rare agreement between the three of us on it. I think it's very important, particularly for specialized needs. The teacher aide, just as an adjunct in the classroom, I'd rather emphasize teacher training and getting the resources to that individual teacher than just having a part-time or other body there. But in special education, in other specialized areas, it's very important. And David and I have had a ongoing communication about conversation in these forums about the importance of neighborhood schools. As strong as a supporter as I am of charter schools, they're not going to fix every problem in the district. So we have to continue to both emphasize the options and choices and make sure in the process we don't forget or neglect our neighborhood schools.
Back to Dave Sheaton.
And this will be for Mr. Neese first. What is exciting about Anchorage schools?
Everything. Everything. We have so many great teachers. We have so many great schools. We have such a wide choice. I think Rilke Shuley, ABC, Spanish immersion, Japanese immersion. We just have such a wealth out there. The part that's not exciting is the fact that we have people clamoring to get into these programs and they can't. We've waitlisted them 800 deep. They should be expanding everything that works. You take the business model, you take what's working, and you expand it. You don't just hold it hostage. So love school, always did. Loved having the kids walk in.
Mr. Croft.
I'm so glad to have the question and that answer, because so often in the discussion we're talking about what we need to do better, and that's of course has to be part of the discussion we do. But we need to take the time as a community to praise our children and praise what the schools are doing well. And David's absolutely right. There's a lot of teachers who are doing fabulous work. I spent part of last night with Bob Williams, who was Teacher of the Year not too long ago, about how he approaches it and the excitement he brings and the team model that he's bringing. I was watching the school board this week talking about new literacy programs and some great numbers that have come from those. So we're doing a lot of things well. I feel like my children are getting a very good education in the Anchorage School District. But we can always do better. So it's identifying those places that we're doing things very, very well, and then finding the ways where we're not, and identifying programs that'll do it.
And Ms. Cornwell. George.
So personally, you know, I have a son that started off with some difficulties in life. He started off in special ed pre-K, and today he's in first grade. He's reading, he's excited, he's doing math. This is his neighborhood school. And I think that's what I'm excited most about, despite the challenges, despite, you know, what's thrown at them, and sometimes the reputation of teachers. We've got people doing amazing things in our neighborhood schools, our charter schools. We've got kids learning and excited to learn and the potential to do whatever it is we need to do.
Thank you, Mr. Croft, Ms. Cornwell-George, and Mr. Neese. That concludes our program. Thank you for being with us.